I'm Eileen.
Eileen.
I don't know how long I've been in ACA because I don't remember when the first I was the third person to join the first ACA meeting in Thousand Oaks. But nobody knows when that was, so. So I've been around for a while, but I don't know how long. But I did start Al-Anon in 1980, so I've been in the, you know, working the steps since then. But I did want to mention this, what we were passing out. This is Omer. He's the man that put our Red Book together. It was an enormous job. He was a writer for, Tulsa World and Tulsa, Oklahoma, writer for that newspaper. And anyway, the work that he did was, you know, I mean, he had to, you know, all those recordings that Pamela did, I mean, the stuff people wrote, he had a lot of help writing the book. He didn't write it all himself, but he wrote a lot of it himself besides, you know, organizing it and stuff. So a friend of mine had sent me this a couple years ago, really well. And one of the things here, she said in what she wrote too about it, Omer repeatedly told me he wasn't writing this book himself, that he'd just sit down at the computer and somehow the words would flow from outside of him down to his fingers and come out on the computer. God was helping him write our book. So I just wanted to be sure that everybody had a copy of this so they would know, because he died when he was 53. So anyway, for me, I wanted to share about working the steps and the gifts I got. I would not have worked the steps if I had just come into ACA by myself, because in the family I grew up in, I didn't matter. But I came into Al-Anon first because of my daughter's alcoholism, and she mattered. So because she mattered, and they said if I worked the steps, I could help her find her own recovery program. It took a year and a half. But she's been in AA for 33 years now, so. So anyway, the steps. Working the first step, admitting I'm powerless, you know. I did find out that I was powerless, but I wasn't helpless. Second step, believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. Al-Anon had what they called the God box at the time, and if you had some problem, you wrote it down on a piece of paper, turned it over to God in the box. You had to leave it there. If you wanted to go back in there and look at it, you had to get it back out because you were taking it back from God. So anyway, I noticed that every time I put a new thing in the God box, I'd look at the old things in there and God had taken care of them. And so I thought, wow, this really works. I like how this program works. Third, made a decision to turn my will and life over to the care of God as I understood God. It took me 2 years to get up enough courage to do that because I was so afraid of what God was going to do to me. He'd given me the mother he gave me, the husband he gave me. He allowed my 17-year-old son to die in a hang glider accident. It's like, what else was God going to do to me? I was scared to death. And then some wise man in my meeting said, how arrogant can you be, Eileen, if you think you have some power over God if you don't turn your life and will over? So with that, I got the message and I finally got down on my knees and did it and then waited. And nothing happened. So I got off my knees and went about my business for 2 weeks, and then Sunday morning I dressed in my heels and hose to go to church, and the battery in my car was dead. And the gift from working the third step was that instead of looking up and saying, why are you doing this to me, I looked and said, I see I have a challenge today. The first one is, how do I get to church? I got help all day long solving that problem. It's one of my happiest memories. I love how this program works. I did the searching and fearless moral inventory and then got up enough courage to go tell my sponsor the whole thing. I was headed out the door to go to her house and my younger son looked at me and said, what's wrong, Mom? So I don't know what was showing on my face, but I said, well, I'm going over to my sponsor's and I'm supposed to tell her everything and I don't want to. And he smiled at me and said, well, do it anyway, Mom. And I remember staring at him because he had no idea what I was talking about. So I figured it must be a message from my higher power. So I got up enough courage to tell her everything that I didn't want anyone to know about me. And she smiled lovingly at me and offered me another cup of tea. And I went home walking on air that day. And it was maybe a year or so later that I read someplace that if there isn't someone who knows everything about you and loves you anyway, you become a victim of your own self-hatred. And I thought, that's what she had done that night. Because I got it all out, she had removed my self-hatred by still loving me. Gifts, working the steps. What's next? Ask God to remove my shortcomings, especially my people-pleasing. Made a list of all the persons I've harmed. Somebody suggested asking my children what I needed to do to make amends to them. They were very happy to let me know. Well, one of the things, too, that I noticed about that was that somebody, you know, I've read someplace that we do what our parents did. And I realized that I had flunked childhood, flunked wifehood. It's like, by God, I'm going to be the world's greatest mother. But what I was doing was not so much for them, but for the neighbors to say what a good mother I was. And so I got it when I listened to them talk to me. And so I was still pretty much doing what I'd been doing before, but now I was doing it because I loved them, not because I wanted the neighbors to admire me as a mother. And they felt the difference. That's what was so interesting. They could tell the difference. Continued to take personal inventory, promptly admitting it when I needed to. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God, praying only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. I couldn't figure out how I was going to know what God's will was for me. And then finally I decided, well, I guess he's going to make me want to do what he wants me to do. Well, I never did what I wanted to do because it was either stupid or what would the neighbors think or, you know, whatever it was. It was always, I couldn't do what I wanted to do. It was dumb. So anyway, I remember the first time that I had a want after working this step. I was out for my noon walk where I worked. I worked in an industrial park, and I used to go out on my noon walk to get in. And if you're familiar with Leslie, it would go across the Gore Road up around two streets and down in front of the Westlake Center thing there, and then back down to my office. Anyway, I got down to this thing, and this particular block had two long buildings with a driveway that went from this street to this street. And I got down to the driveway, and I wanted to walk down the driveway instead of going back down to Gore Road. And critical parent that I carry around, you can't do that. That's private property. Who do you think you are walking down there? But I stood there, and I really, really, really wanted to walk down that driveway, and it didn't even make any sense. But I looked up and said, if you want me to do this, I will. So I walked down the driveway, and the company that had been in there had moved out. Didn't have a sign up yet, but they had little bands out front that said Pinkerton Security on them. So I thought, well, maybe that was the gift, because when I was in high school, I read all the Western novels, and they used to have Pinkerton detectives in, so that was my happy thought on my way back to the office. Next day, I was getting ready to go on my walk at noon, and my boss called and said that he had something that he needed me to do immediately. So I worked on it immediately and finished it about 3 o'clock, and I wanted to go for a walk. Critical parent, you can't go for a walk now. Who's going to answer the phone? You know, nobody's here at 3 o'clock. You know, you can't go for a walk. But I really, really, really wanted to go for a walk. So, okay, if you want me to go for a walk. So, went out for my walk, and as I said, it's an industrial park, not much going on. Car drove by. A few minutes later, the car was back and stopped, and a lady leaned out the window and said, do you know where Pinkerton's is? And I thought, she has no idea how God worked in her life to have me first find Pinkerton's and then have my boss call and keep me there till 3 o'clock so I could tell her where Pinkerton's was. I have another story like that. Do I have time? I wasn't timing. How much time do I have left?
5 minutes at least.
Okay, I can tell you about the dog. It wouldn't help, but thank you for the thought. I went to, my son was getting married in Indiana, and my daughters and I flew there, but naturally I rented a car. And so stayed at a bed and breakfast that was about a half a mile from my son's home. So anyway, I forgot something. It was down at his house, forgot something, went up to the bed and breakfast, and when I was getting ready to go back, I wanted to walk back. Same thing, critical parent. You can't walk back. What if they need you driving the car someplace? What are you thinking of? But I really, really, really wanted to walk back. Okay, if you want me to walk. So it was a pleasant walk down the street. This Danville is an ancient town. My son's house was built in 1886. That's how old it is. Then there was an alleyway, and it was called Peach Street. They even gave it a name. Cars were driving up and down this alleyway. You know, the houses on the block were facing that way, but this alleyway. And if you had cars coming, one of you had to move into somebody's backyard to, you know, get by. But anyway, I walked down Peach Street and then got to the next street, which curved like this down to my son's street. And great big long grass, no sidewalk, no curb, just this curving thing. And I could hear somebody shouting something or other. Couldn't figure out what it was. And this car came and then turned and came up the street where I was walking down. And a lady leaned out the window and said, "My dog got out and I'm trying to find him. Have you seen a little brown dog?" And I said, "Oh, I'm sorry, but I haven't. Well, gee, I'm just trying to find it." So she started to drive off and I'm still walking down. And all of a sudden, the little brown dog run madly down the street and turning and coming back. And I thought, since it was curved, she wouldn't have seen him in her rearview mirror. So I'm now shouting after her, you know, "Is that the little brown dog?" So I got to see the reunion. But I can remember standing there thinking that God even knew how long I was going to argue, because the timing was perfect. If I'd been seconds earlier or later, it wouldn't have happened, you know? So I like how God works in my life because of working the 11th step. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to others who still suffer and to practice these principles in all our affairs, and that's what I was trying to do by sharing what helped me. Thank you very much. Please work your steps.